Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1997. The Morality of Immigration.
Hello. I want to talk with you a little today about the immigration problem and what it's doing to America. If you live in any large city on the East Coast or the West Coast or in Texas, you already know that immigration is a problem which is destroying America. Actually, there are many other parts of the country where the destructive effects of the government's current immigration policies are obvious. I'm fortunate to be able to live and work in a rural, mountainous part of the country where the population has not been affected by non-white immigration. Perhaps for that reason, whenever business takes me to a large city, I am struck especially forcefully by what the immigration of the last couple of decades has done to our country. When I visited Los Angeles recently, I was impressed by my observation that the entire infrastructure of the city is in the hands of non-whites, nearly all of them recent immigrants. Walk into any hotel or restaurant in Los Angeles, get on any bus, buy something in any store, and you are dealing almost exclusively with non-white clerks, waiters, cooks, drivers. Observe the sanitation workers, the public utilities crews, the road repair laborers. They are non-white immigrants, nearly all of them. If the non-whites wanted to, they could immobilize the city, and the whites there would be helpless. Los Angeles, with its Blade Runner ambience, is perhaps an extreme example, but the same process is taking place in other cities all across America. One sees white people in suits carrying briefcases, and everyone else on the streets is non-white. The people in the suits and carrying the briefcases don't seem to be alarmed by this situation the way I am. They regard all of the brown and yellow and black people around them as very useful because they're doing jobs that white people don't want to do and thereby are making it possible for the people with the suits and briefcases to live a more comfortable and prosperous life. What a selfish and short-sighted view of the situation that is. I lived in Los Angeles more than 40 years ago. What a difference. There were still far too many non-whites in the area then in the 1950s, but you could walk into a restaurant and expect to have a white waiter or waitress. You could expect to ride a bus with a white driver. And 40 years ago in the 1950s, people who had been living in the Los Angeles area since before the Second World War told me how much the city had gone downhill since the 1930s. In the 1930s, it really had been a white city, clean, uncrowded, almost no crime, a really pleasant place to live. Today, of course, between the blacks and the non-white immigrants, it's become a real hellhole. There are large sections of the city where a white man dare not go, even in the daytime. Mark Furman didn't develop his views in a vacuum. He learned about non-whites on the streets of Los Angeles. As I said, Los Angeles may be an extreme case, but we can see the same thing happening all over America. What used to be a white country 60 years ago is very rapidly becoming a non-white country. Mark Furman and I are not the only white Americans who have noticed that, but there are far too many white Americans who pretend not to notice because pretending is what is politically correct these days. I get on many radio and television interview programs, and when I point out the damage that immigration is doing to America, I nearly always am countered by a host who pretends that our government's immigration policy is a wonderful thing. I run into all of the standard cliches. Don't you know that we are a nation of immigrants? We're all descended from immigrants. Immigration is what built this country. Our diversity is what makes us strong, etc. And when I point out that the immigrants who built America were immigrants from Europe, and that the immigrants who are destroying America now are from everywhere but Europe, the host asks me incredulously whether or not I really believe that it makes any difference where the immigrants come from. He pretends to believe that immigrants from Haiti or the Dominican Republic or Vietnam or Mexico have the same effect on American life that immigrants from Sweden or Poland or England or Ireland or Germany have had. He pretends to believe this because otherwise he would be charged with being a racist, and then he would no longer have a job as a radio or TV host. And I'm afraid that there are idiots out there who really do believe that, because that's what they're being taught in their schools and their churches, as well as by their TV. Back in the 1930s, Americans had a little more sense about things like race and immigration. Immigration was from Europe, and there were laws to keep it that way. After the Second World War, the propagandists in Hollywood and New York started beating the drums for racial integration and for opening America's borders to the Third World. A huge Jewish propaganda campaign was aimed at changing America's immigration laws. The Jews and their allies wanted to switch immigration from Europe to the Third World. America needed more diversity, they told us. It was racist to keep Mexicans and Haitians out and let Norwegians and Frenchmen in. New York Congressman, Jewish Congressman, by the way, Emanuel Seller, led the campaign in the Congress, and he recruited renegade whites such as Teddy Kennedy to help him. In 1965, this campaign finally succeeded in making America's immigration laws less racist. And so now we have the situation we can see in Los Angeles and in many other American cities today. And you know, if I were an observer from Mars, I might just wonder at what sort of collective death wish had infected the minds of white Americans. What sort of suicidal insanity had gripped them to make them put up with this situation? And as a Martian observer, I might study the situation with detachment. But I'm not from Mars. This is my country, which is being destroyed. These are my people who are letting themselves be led without protest into the slaughterhouse. And that is exactly where we're headed, into the slaughterhouse, all for the sake of political correctness, all for the sake of racial equality, all for the sake of diversity. It is truly insane. The situation in America now is that our country becomes darker, racially darker every year. And that is the direct result of our government's immigration policy. Sometime around the middle of the next century, about 50 years from now, America will become a majority non-white country. We white people, we descendants of the European immigrants who built America, will be a minority in our own country. And if we don't like it, well, then we can be dealt with the way they deal with ethnic conflicts in places like Rwanda, or the way they dealt with the racial problem in Haiti, when the black majority there simply butchered the entire white minority 200 years ago. In large parts of the American Southwest today, including California, the Mexicans already talk among themselves about what they will do to the gringos as soon as they have in their hands the power to do it. It is, of course, a fact that our ancestors took the American Southwest away from their ancestors because we were stronger than they and we wanted their land. And as soon as they become stronger than we, they intend to take it back again and in the process do a bit of ethnic cleansing to get rid of any remaining gringos. That is the way the world works. That is the way the world always has worked. That is the way it always will work. Why do we have so many idiots among us today who believe that the lion can be taught to lie down with the lamb? Why do we have so many idiots who believe that the laws of nature have been suspended simply because those laws are not politically correct? Why do we have so many men among us who have lost their manly instincts and believe that we should no longer fight to protect what is ours, that we no longer should defend our borders, our part of the earth, and that we should bare our throats to our enemies? I've answered these questions before on these American Dissident Voices programs, and I'll answer them again now. Many of our people, of course, don't really think about these things. Many of our people simply accept them because of their selfishness and their short-sightedness. The men with the briefcases and the suits are glad to have someone else to mow their lawns and collect their garbage and do the other things that they consider beneath their own dignity and the dignity of their children. When I was a boy, I and other white boys used to mow lawns and do every other kind of rough and dirty work to earn money for the things that we wanted. I even picked cotton and helped bring in other crops. I worked on an egg farm for a while, washing eggs. Now that was nasty work, and I didn't like it at all, but I did it anyway. But nowadays, this work is considered beneath the dignity of white teenagers as well as adults. And so we hire non-whites to do it for us. What a terrible, terrible mistake that is. For the sake of our momentary convenience, our momentary luxury, we give our whole heritage away and our children's heritage. We protect them from having to do strenuous or unpleasant work, but at the cost of growing up in a society where they will become a minority during their lifetimes and will be at the mercy of a non-white majority. That is the very worst sort of selfishness and short-sightedness. In contrast to these people who don't think about what non-white immigration is doing to America because at the moment they believe that it is benefiting them, in contrast to these selfish and short-sighted people, there are people who do think about it after a fashion. At least, they talk about it. These are the ones who believe that the laws of nature have been repealed. These are the ones who babble about how wonderful diversity is because they hear other people babbling about it on television. These are the ones who claim to believe that there is no difference between Haitian immigrants and Norwegian immigrants. These are the ones who claim to look forward eagerly to the time when whites will be a minority in America, because then we will have an end to racism and everyone finally will be able to get along with everyone else. When I'm on radio or television talk shows, I run into lots of these idiots. I run into people who tell me that they wouldn't want to live in an America which had become white again. There wouldn't be enough diversity to make their jaded lives interesting. They would no longer have their choice of Vietnamese or Mexican restaurants, no longer be able to see such an interesting mix of skin colors and racial types everywhere, no longer be able to listen to Jewish comics and admire black athletes. They would be very bored if all of their neighbors and coworkers were white, they tell me. Part of this pathology is related to the breakdown in the sense of community, the sense of family, of belonging, of rootedness, which used to characterize white Americans, and its replacement by extreme individualism. 50 or 60 years ago, Americans used to identify very strongly with their community, with their ethnic group, with their race. They felt a sense of responsibility for others of their own kind around them. We were like a large, extended family. Now, too many people are retreating into individualism, caring only about their own pleasures and their own interests. They do not even feel any sense of responsibility for their own children. They are not concerned about the type of world their children or their grandchildren will inherit. All that matters is their own gratification, now. And I run into people who spout the sort of idiot pop morality promoted by the media. They say, we took California and Texas away from the Mexicans, so why should we complain if they take it back now? We have no right to keep them from crossing the border because it used to be their land. If you want to see one of these idiots backtrack in a hurry, tell him you believe that he's hit on an excellent principle, which ought to be applied in the Middle East. We certainly should not help the Jews hang on to land which they have stolen from the Palestinians. Instead, we should be helping the Palestinians take it back. That'll shut him up. Of course, there's nothing rational or consistent about the beliefs or the arguments of the people who want to keep America's borders open. These people take the positions they do simply because they are the positions which are promoted by the media, positions which are currently fashionable, and these people would rather die than be thought unfashionable. I'll give you a position which is rational and consistent. We took this land because we were stronger than our opponents, and because we needed the land to raise our families. As long as we remained strong in spirit as well as in body, we held on to the land so that our children and their children also would have land to raise their families. But then malicious aliens came into our land and got their hands on our information media and our entertainment media. And these aliens spread spiritual poison among our people so that our spirits became corrupted and our minds became confused. These aliens were able to make some of us feel guilty for taking this land for ourselves. They were able to make some of us feel guilty for being concerned about our own people, for being race conscious. And they were able to promote their pop morality among the fashion conscious. But those of us who are not confused and whose souls are not corrupted are growing in numbers now. We are becoming stronger. And we understand that the strong will inherit the earth. We understand that if the aliens are able to keep our people weak and confused, then some other race will take our land away from our children and use it to raise their families instead. We understand that people who are race conscious are stronger than those who are not. We understand that people who feel a sense of community with others of their kind are stronger than those who are concerned only about themselves. And we understand that it is not moral to be weak or to favor other races above our own, or to give away what our ancestors struggled and died for. We understand that it is moral to survive, that it is moral to be strong, that it is moral to defend our land, that it is moral to fight against those who would take our land, just as it is moral to fight against those who would corrupt our spirits. We understand that the laws of nature have not been repealed, that they rule now just as they always have ruled. We understand that nature is not immoral, and that we are not immoral when we follow the instincts which nature has given us, and in accord with those instincts, cling to our own kind and try to build a secure future for our posterity. We understand that it is moral for us to mow our own lawns and drive our own buses and collect our own garbage and cook our own food and wait on our own tables in restaurants and pick our own crops and not to depend on the members of other races to do any of these things for us. And we understand that no honest work is beneath our dignity or the dignity of our children. We understand that it is better for our children to do strenuous work and dirty work and to become physically hard and disciplined than it is for them to grow up soft. We understand these things, and we accept our responsibility to help all of our people understand them also. The purpose of these American Dissident Voices broadcasts is to spread understanding among our people. Spreading understanding is the purpose of everything we do. And it is a difficult task because the malicious aliens who control the mainstream media are working overtime to corrupt and confuse, and their resources are greater than ours at this time. But we are growing. We are becoming stronger. More people are beginning to understand. And when we have spread understanding to enough of our people, then we will be able to put an end to the non-white immigration which is destroying America and destroying our heritage. And we will be able to begin undoing the damage. And with understanding, with the adherence of our people to a real morality, the morality of nature, the morality of our ancestors, instead of the pop morality promoted by the alien masters of the media, we will be able to solve every other problem confronting our people in addition to the immigration problem. We can do it. Together, we can do it. Thanks for being with me again today.